Crazy Dave, KBest 95.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Crazy Dave, and we are here on Life's a Binge podcast with the one and only BJ and Jared.
Yeah.
Come on down.
That's fantastic. I'm going to save that forever.
You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, this blows my mind whole.
We'll
like,
give you the...
it's so crazy. I could tell. I'll be like, hey, Dad, I know you don't really listen to my podcast, but...
you might want to listen to this
You should
one.
Check yeah. this one this out, because it's going to blow your mind. Yeah. So as you just heard, we're back with Dave Smith, Crazy Dave. This is part two of the Dave Smith episode. And we want to welcome him back. And we're not going to do our whole intros because you guys know where to find us, Life's a Binge and all that stuff. But we will play our theme song. And let's do that right now.
Inhale.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right? Ooh, that was good one, too.
We're back.
Yep. Yeah.
Just like that. It's like it's been forever since I've talked to you, Dave.
It's been a while.
I'm sitting, so we haven't moved.
So there were so many like I peed.
Yeah, right.
So there was some. God, there was so
with
many
the crazy
that,
drought
that
in your house too.
And where did you pee? That's a you know
in the
we
in
get
the
into
potted
that
plant.
That's
just
right.
Like all
it's a, water's it's, off in your house.
Yeah,
it's,
you come to find yeah. out you can't take a shower.
Water main break.
Can't wash your hands.
Nope.
And you just peed.
I just peed.
And your hands.
Luckily, my wee wee's clean.
And you can't.
So.
Can't.
Shake.
Yeah. You use a Purell, right? Yeah, those Purell. Yeah.
Anyway. But so dang it.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll bounce around a little bit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we do. And generally, we're a TV movie.
Pop culture.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So definitely KRP in Cincinnati, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, WKRP. What a crazy show.
And were you a fan of the show? And
well, yeah, it was funny because I was in radio when it came out, and we all sat around after the premiere of it because, of course, it was
that
a
had
big,
to be surreal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
was there a radio show before that? Like, I don't remember.
Not really. Not like in. Well, definitely not like WKRP. And I just remember everyone sitting around the next day going, it's never going to make it. They're never going to believe that this is actually what goes on a radio station, because it was true. I mean,
it wasn't anything like it.
No, it was everything like it. It's like, you know, mini soap opera.
Uh-huh.
There's always something going on behind the scenes. And so WKRP was so much like a real radio station. And that's what we were laughing about. It's like they'll never believe it. It'll never last because people will never believe that it's really that crazy behind the scenes. But, you know, a lot of the stuff was absolutely spot on. The you know, some of the weird stuff that they would do, and you know, the newsman and
Wes Nessman.
right.
Wes Nessman.
And then the sales guy. I mean, he was the combination of every sales guy that you'd ever met.
What was his name? Yes, right.
So it's just, you know, one of those funny things.
That's cool. You know,
a good show.
It's not the same at all, but it's sort of the same. When I was working as a waiter in a restaurant, when the show The Restaurant came out and it was a reality show.
It's not the same. I'm just kidding.
It's not the same because it's a... Yeah, it's not the same. But in,
no,
just
is.
In the sense... how it's the same is that when you're seeing it, everybody who works at a restaurant, and there's lots and lots of people who
we're
watching the show and going, you know, this is...
They're doing that right.
Yeah, they're doing a show. Right, they're doing a show about it, you know, about restaurant work. And because we've probably all thought... At whatever we do, wherever we're at, this would make a nice TV show, or this would make a good movie script. Or something like that. So to see it being played out is something that you're kind of
whatever your work is, if you see it played out either on television or on the big screen, it resonates with you. It's a tribute to your work,
right?
I mean, if they did a series on a landscaper,
right?
The same thing. You're like, oh my gosh. So it is. It's that resonance, and that's where it can either hit or miss, because if they don't get it right, then the people in that industry goes, oh, that's just a bunch of BS. It's nothing like that.
Right.
What
yeah.
you really want is everyone in the industry to go, oh, my God.
Dude, that's how it is.
They are telling tales out of school here. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Portlandia only, is exactly like the city.
Well, yes, not, exactly. And not only do they have to get it right for the people that work in that industry, but it has to be relatable for everyone else.
Right.
Which is why, you know, a show like The Office, where even if you don't work in an office, like, you still enjoy that show just because the characters right. are so funny and the concept is funny. But if you work in any kind of customer service related, you know, cubicle space, it makes more sense because you're like, yeah, like, our jobs are so mundane. Like, we do these.
You need to put some
like,
oh, exactly. staplers and Jell-O.
Right. Like, those are things that can happen because that's what happens in an office
and
type
statistically,
space.
I dare say statistically that a majority of people have worked in some environment like that in the course
right.
of their lives.
Yeah.
Right.
So they can relate to it, even if they only spent 3 weeks in a cubicle. All yep. you have to do is spend a little bit of time in a cubicle and you know what a cubicle's about.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know. Get me out of this jail.
So, that's funny.
God, I did that for 6 years. Thank you for calling ProFlowers. My name is Jared. How can I help you today? 6 years, man.
At what year years. Were you like, I got to get out of this? Year two?
Month one?
Yeah. No, it was rough. But then I left that job to do 6 years, fun in the sun at SeaWorld. Yeah.
Right on.
So I went from being completely miserable answering phones in customer service, because I was a supervisor at the time when I left, and so I just got, like, the escalated calls where people are already pissed that the grunt couldn't solve their problem.
So you only got the screaming
so then,
calls.
Yeah, so then I got the angry people, and it was just like, I get yelled at 8 hours a day. I sit on my fat butt, like, in my cubicle for 8 hours a day and just get yelled at and berated. And then I left to dance around with sea lions and, like, make
and
thousands
cheered.
Of people laugh and applaud. I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world!
Now, here's the thing that makes no sense. BJ and I have experience with two people that did exactly the opposite. They went from being dolphin hosts
right.
to being customer service people for Geico.
Right.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, I totally get
it.
It
was the steady paycheck.
Yep.
That's yeah, really that's what I'm doing
that's
now. The,
that's
yep.
what, that's
what
it now. Was. That's yeah. what I'm
yeah,
doing
some
now.
Security.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
But God, Michael and James, wherever you guys
know,
are.
Yeah. I think Michael's doing something. I run into him every so often. Michael Clark. And James.
Duncan? Just kidding.
I know. As long as I've known him, it's always, you feel like that. But dang it, I forgot what I was going to say.
Something about James running in.
Oh, yeah. But James, like, was young. He was young.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He was, like, 20 and, like, complaining about SeaWorld. I remember, like,
dude,
go get a job, dude. Go get a job, man. And then go complain about this.
Golly.
Like, he left. Went and got a job at Geico. Maybe he was working with Michael Clark.
Yeah, I think
like
that,
Michael Clark got him the job.
I think he got him the job or something.
And then he kind of came back was like, "Yeah, yeah,
yeah."
And he was like,
"I get it.
I realize now.
I've been humbled."
And then I was thinking he was going to change. He didn't change. He was just complain about everything. He's like you know,
you're like get out and give me your hours. Like I enjoy
that's
this.
That's what happened. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Golly.
No, I couldn't stand when people would like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. And like, there's, of course it's still your job. Like
right.
That's what I would always say when I, you know, worked at SeaWorld. I was like, I really wish I had Saturday off. Like, it's a bummer. I got to work. And they're like, yeah, but you know what they say, when you love your job, you don't work a day in your life. I'm like, I still have to go to fucking work on Saturday. Like, like when I get there, it's going to be fun and I'm going to love it, but I still have to go to work.
Yeah,
like,
it's still my
job.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and so you can only complain so much, but at the same time, it's like, it's still my job. Like
right.
It's awesome and it's fun and I love it and I get to, you know, get the applause and the you know, the grandeur of being
all the accolades,
whatever, but it's like, it's still work.
Well,
and so people don't get that. They're like, what are you doing? It's so fun. It's like, yeah, but it's still my job.
I think the one thing you tickled my brain on, the one thing that people that have never been in entertainment have a hard time grasping. And that is this whole thing about when your job starts.
Right.
Okay. It's like, I'm freaking out about traffic. Why are you freaking out about traffic? I gotta get to work. Hey, so what? You're late. No, you don't understand.
Yeah.
The show starts at this
on.
Time.
It's gonna go.
I can't be late.
Right.
Whereas if you're anybody else, it's like, oh, Mindy's gonna be late this morning. Someone else can pick up the phones.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm sorry. If I'm not there,
the show doesn't happen.
and
yeah.
I'm gonna be in the worst.
3,500 people.
I'm in the worst kind of trouble. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So now there's a movie I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It wasn't a big, big movie, but called In a World. Did you ever hear about that movie?
Oh, I heard about it, and I never saw it.
Oh,
In
it's good.
A World. We're talking about the old Don LaFontaine.
Yep.
That was his big word. In a world.
In a world where.
Yeah, yes. It's Bob, it's about voiceover actors, and the actress Lake Bell, I believe, wrote it and directed it.
Yep.
But it's...
I think
it was,
so.
Well, something
I said
that I
like
think
it was
you,
a fact, but I think
I need to I need to see
it. It's
that.
So
yeah,
good.
I enjoyed it. I watched it and enjoyed it, and it's got a good storyline, and it's got a good storyline with her and her father.
Mm-hmm.
But just if you had seen it, I was just, oh, well, let's talk about it a little bit. But that's something you might want to check out.
What was
check out? What was the other one? It was like, I know that voice. What's the other? What's the
that
other
was like a documentary,
over?
Right?
Yeah. And it's about like the five people that do Hollywood voice.
I don't think
most
I saw
the stuff
that
yet.
One.
Yeah.
The five. You didn't see that?
I don't think so. That is it. The one dude who's like
it features like
the, with a really deep voice.
Was it Bubba?
Right, like who does the? I don't think I saw it, but I'm assuming right. Like I've seen like specials or on TV about the guy who's very signature voice, especially for movie trailers.
In a World guy.
In a World. Maybe, but...
Well, the, In a World was Don older. LaFontaine, and Don passed away...
A while ago?
A few years back, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it was him or not, but they showed him, like, getting his, you know, his lines and then doing it in his house. And it makes me think of... And I know you're not a big sports fan, but, like, on the radio now, if you ever listen to... If, like, I'm driving and, like, say, like, the Monday Night Football game is about to start,
There's
a... guy who's like tonight and like and really like the Raiders and he does it so exaggerated and drawn out that I crack up listening to him picturing him go who's gonna win today and it's just
well that's
so...
like any of the most famous I guess sports voices are like a big thing but like on SportsCenter it's sponsored by whatever it happens to be sponsored by, and they have the same guy do the same thing, and it's like this, brought to you by Budweiser. And it's like, that's exactly what it sounds like. SportsCenter is brought to you by... And it's like,
1-800
like, how did this guy get the gig? Like, how did that become the voice? It's like, that's not pleasurable to hear, but that's just what it is. It's like, this week on SportsCenter. It's like, does that hurt? And it's probably just, he's just talking.
Right.
So great. Like, voiceover, I am fascinated by voiceover. And I'm... It's well, something. It's, oh gosh!
It is. It's a fascinating industry, and it's all subjective,
right?
You know, and that's the funny thing. It's all subjective, and it's like so. When I'm putting auditions in, so there are different portals out there, but you know, one of the biggest portals is voices.com. So you go onto the portal. It'll show you the jobs that are open, and it's like, okay, that's good. You know, youngish sounding male American voice for. Company training. Okay, click on that, you know. And they all want you to read a little thing of it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
At XYZ, we are the, you know. And so then you do that and you submit the audition. Well, so do, you know.
Everyone
50,
else.
50, 75 right. other people. And so it becomes very subjective as to who gets the job. And so the thing that I've always said is that anybody who has hired me has liked what I've done, and if they've had a repeat job, I've generally gotten a repeat job out of them. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's in a way, the way that voiceovers are being done today, at least at this lower level, if I had an agent, that might be different. But at this lower level, it's a lot like being the Electrolux salesman door-to-door, you know,
really?
30 years ago, where you're selling vacuum cleaners door-to-door. It's all about how many doors you knock on.
You're pitching it.
Right.
So how many demos that you do... out in the day on projects, and so that just becomes that numbers game. Hmm. And then once someone's hired you, then they're like, yeah, we like Dave's voice. We'll have him come back again and again, and that's good. That's what you're looking for. But it's getting that gig. So, yeah, there are times I hear voices.
Right.
Obviously, I'm kind of in tune to that, and I'll be going, holy moly, how did that happen?
Right.
You know, how did that
Yeah, I'm sure much more so than most of us, you know, that like...
It's like, kind of
tuning in.
This?
Right, so right, they, right. They got hired, huh? They got that job?
But yeah, but all performers feel that way.
I guess so.
Oh, of course.
It's like, even if...
Even like you hear a band, you're like, so, really? Top 40 song? Really?
Like, that's... Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's like anything else. It's, yeah. I mean, you look at someone like Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. Willie does not have a voice like you would think, right. But he's got a very unique voice, and, uh-huh. and that's what he's built his entire career on. And we can name a dozen musicians right off the top of our heads that have unique voices or unique styles.
I could, but there's none of them on my mind.
No. I see what you did.
That was terrible.
It needed no nasally. So.
And then there's always that factor of who you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big factor, too. So you get the call from someone going, hey, Tom, I really have always liked how your voice is. And you're like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
We got this project we want you to work on. Well, and in video games, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That is a whole new frontier. You've got all these people doing video games. Anybody who can do multiple voices,
yep.
that's the place for them to be right now is hopping into video games, because that's huge. I mean, there are guys sitting at Comic-Con on the panels.
Yep.
You know, and the guy's just sitting there going, I have no idea how I got here, but I'm here and I'm riding the crest of this wave right
oh, yeah.
now.
You Heck know. Yeah.
Who are you? I'm Lieutenant Fox.
Everyone's yeah. like, oh, yeah, that is Lieutenant Fox.
Yeah.
That's totally him.
Yep. No, it's the best.
And so that's cool. And again, I am one of these people that celebrates every successful person, because oh, yeah. I just feel that puts me one step closer to being successful. I don't, it's some weird 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing that's going on in my mind, but I'm just no. like, you know, the more that I and celebrate then, someone yeah, else doing that.
And you're attracting that to you. You're not like putting out, you
well,
know.
And I look at it and I go, God, if he can do it, then I should be able to do this too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. How yeah. did this is good. So yeah, it's a good thing.
At a BJ and Todd gig, maybe a couple years ago, they're always different. They were always different. Like, just stuff happened. But we had a guy who was requesting songs and interacting with us during the show. And it turns out he was the voice of a character on Naruto, which was a show that friends of mine really like. Santiago is a big Naruto yeah. fan, but we kind of mentioned that. Like, he told me during the break, like, because you go out and visit with everybody, you know,
right,
and kind of press the flesh.
Sure.
And so I'm talking to this table, and they were really into the show, and so we're talking about stuff, and she's like, you should have him come up and sing a song, because you know who he is, and I'm like, no.
No.
You know?
Sure don't.
But he, it was just fun. He had a couple different things, and he did it on the animated series.
Spot
he did
on,
it on video
yeah.
games and did a whole bunch of voice work, and it's just a cool thing.
It's just one of those things I wish I would have actually actively tried to do.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. You can still do
definitely
that.
Something. Like, the closest I ever did anything is when I worked at the customer service call center. I worked for ProFlowers. Profilers.com. Actually, it was Provide Commerce was the company that owned us. It was like a whole subsidiary of it, whatever. But they found out that I was a performer, and they were like, we just got this new like PowerPoint training program. We need somebody to narrate it. Like, can you do that? And I was like, are you going to pay me?
Minor details.
And like, I got way underpaid for doing the amount of work that I did, but they were just like, yeah, you know, we'll kick down a little bit. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I would just take my laptop, like go into the little booth with my, you know, blue snowball microphone. And like, just, I was in charge of the whole thing. And I just clicked, you know, and then when you take the call, like whatever it was that I was saying,
I just read
the script, and like, they're like, can you reword it to make it sound more natural? And I was like, yes, I can do all these things that you're asking me to do. And like, it was the closest I ever got. And I was like, this is the best thing in the world.
Right.
Like, I'm 8 hours of work. Like, I take my laptop and I sit down in the studio with the microphone. It's just me. And I'm just sitting, no, that was a bad one. Delete, go back. That was a good one. Delete. No, I took it too out of a breath and go back, edit that out. And like,
right.
Like, what? And it was just so fun. I was like, this is great. This is so fun. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you can still do it, because there are tons of places out there that are doing, you know, training. I mean, there's online stuff. I've been involved in a couple of video seminars that put on to learn how to do that. And it's it really is great, because if you've got any, if you got any inkling to do that, you might as well.
Right.
You start off with a place like Upwork.com, you know, one of the lower end portals, and you can just cut your teeth on that and make some money. And
Upwork.com.
Upwork.com. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, that's like the entry level.
I'm just going to talk like this.
Studio-C.com.
This is my whole voice that I got for
my voice. My buddy Scott Higby, he's one of the guys that put together this program. So I'm sure if you check that out, then you can find that program that he's got.
I'm going to live my dream. Learn. It's going to happen.
Well, you know, when he said that if you can do several voices, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm set.
Okay, let's hear it.
Who do you want?
A unique one.
Uniquin. Let's see.
Uniqua who?
You don't have like a just a generic character voice that you just do all the time?
Nope.
Fair enough.
I have like a...
I don't either. I'm just calling you out right now.
This is my generic character voice right here. This is kind of like the you know, the middle of the road. This is the guy.
I do impressions of other people's impressions, kind of.
Oh,
I guess,
see,
you
yeah.
know? Or
see,
like characters like, you know, like... So I got in The Simpsons, you know... Let's see. G-Bert. Hold on. Why? Don't! You know, hold on. I have to get in the flow of it. But the secret is to take little bites like so. Flanders! But anyway.
Yeah, see, I've never done character voices, like imitation.
Right.
Right.
I've just had a few voices that I do, but it's, you know, but yeah, I am absolutely in awe of those guys that A, can do the impersonations, mm-hmm. and then B, can do like 12 character voices.
Right.
You know, that just blows my mind.
So. Yeah, that's why the documentary, I think it's I Know That Voice, is just, it's so good, because it literally, there's like five super famous, you know, voiceover guys that are... You know, Rob Paulsen, and I can't even think of the other guy's name, like the Bob's Burger who does that voice.
I don't
something
know.
Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, John Benjamin.
John Benjamin. John Benjamin. Yeah. Like his voice, like
and it's all that work because he has such a signature
right.
voice, and
right.
I can't do it. I try to like impersonate
right,
him.
Right, right. He is.
I
yeah.
can't do it.
It's like,
but his voice is so great.
And like Patrick Warburton has
yeah. Patrick Warburton is yeah, he's one of those guys. Where it's like a seriously,
yeah,
it's all over. Oh,
all he has to do is talk, and you're like, okay. Got it. Nailed it. And, like, it just to do... Oh, you were going to try Patrick Warburton?
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, some of the a line from Seinfeld, but I can't think yeah. of something specific.
But any of those, it's just so cool, and, like, that's why that documentary is just awesome to watch, because you're like, I do know that voice. Oh, it's the same guy. Oh, that's the same guy that's that guy. Like, what? What are you talking about? And then they highlight, you know, Nancy Cartwright and people for the longest time
right, right.
were like... Bart Simpson's a girl? What?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, it blew their mind. But that's the thing.
Makes
and
sense.
Voiceover,
it's sustainable. You
and,
know, it's a sustainable voice for a woman.
Who's the
right.
guy that does Bender on Futurama? Do you guys know?
I don't know offhand.
Oh, yeah. What?
I can't think of his name.
My shiny metal.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
dang,
I know.
Anyway.
We're all failing. But he was like, it's
epic
great.
Fail.
There was a he was animated on a series with... You know, Craig Roberts or whatever, and it's like these three black guys, and he's like, I can be a black guy. Like, I am a white guy, but in voiceover, I can be anybody.
Right.
And like, he just, that was the example that he had, but it was like, in voiceover, you could be an alien. You could be a girl. You could be a guy. You could be whatever, just because it doesn't matter as
yeah.
long as that's what it sounds like. Like,
I do
it's
get
great.
A kick out of like, kind of recognizing voices. Like, oh, I guess I understand that. That's so-and-so.
Right.
You can hear kind of similarities in it.
Oh, it's so good.
You John pause for a
John
moment.
DiMaggio.
What do I have to do?
Could you
John,
pause?
Yes. Pause?
Yeah.
I don't know. What I don't know.
So the voiceover thing is pretty wild.
Yes.
Pretty wild. And the fun things that you can do with it.
Well, and so you said that you never really did like, you know, character voices or anything. You just kind of used enhanced versions of your own voice.
Right.
And so is there specific things that you would use different voices for? Obviously, where it's like, this is a theme park voice. We need it to sound
oh,
as,
yeah. well,
as not bland, but as generic as possible, right? Where it's
well, yeah, yeah. There's a couple of different things. It's like, okay, doing stuff for SeaWorld, some of the stuff for SeaWorld, and then say like an awards show,
right?
Yet that's where you have to. You're talking. It's more presenting type, and it's more. right. And especially for like the SeaWorld stuff, ladies and gentlemen, because it's outdoors. It has to carry. You can't put it all. Can't go, ladies and gentlemen, because no one will hear it.
Draw it out.
So
a little
you have
bit
to draw it out a little bit more.
It's not intimate. It's...
But other than that, you know, and then a lot of the stuff now that people want, they want more conversational stuff. So I'll be saying, all right, well, your business is the only business that you have. And I wouldn't be going, your business is the only business that you have.
Right.
Unless, you know, unless they said that. I mean, I actually got, I got a really cool gig, and this was for the Minnesota Twins, just right at the beginning of baseball season this year. They wanted someone that could sing like Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation.
Nice.
Okay. So I'm
what
like,
what does that mean? I mean,
well, cause he kind of does the take me out to the ball game, you know? And so I'm like, sure, I can mix that up.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, it's like, okay, you got a session on Thursday. And so I'm literally on this ISDN session. I had to go to a studio in town cause they wanted ISDN. And I'm literally on the phone with this, the cable with these people from Minnesota, this advertising agency, and I'm just singing this song, you know, and it's like, it's all written for the Twins, you know, take me out of the ball game, give me a Budweiser and a, you know, like, oh, you know, can we do a blue keg or whatever, you know. So I had a couple of different takes, but it was just the trippiest thing because here I was getting paid good money to not even sing good,
right?
You know.
So now what? And they were. It was supposed to be Chris Pratt.
Yeah, the Zet style. So okay. Basically, the whole concept of this commercial was that the boss has called this guy into his office that's not getting his job done, and all he can think about is going out to the ball game. And so the whole thing about it is the boss, and the boss was dialing in from somewhere else, from like Arizona or something. And so we're all on the same time. And the boss is like, Bob, you know, your performance has really been slipping a little bit lately. And he's going, take me out to the ball, you know, and then he would have another line. And then his answering line would kind of not have anything to do with what the boss said. And finally, the boss is just like get out of here. Go to the game. You know, that kind of thing. So a really cute little 30-second TV commercial.
Nice.
Or radio commercial, whatever it was. But it was just a hoot to be able to go in and just
have fun.
And they were they wanted me to, you know, can you camp it up a little more? Oh, yeah, you know, take me. It's like, all right, I can do this.
Of course. No, of that course. That was always my favorite note. They're like, can you go bigger? You're like, oh, yes, I can. Yeah. Like, that's right. You're going to regret saying those words to me. Like,
right.
It's on now.
But no, so everyone has their niche, I think.
Right. Life without water sucks, man. It's so funny because no one's going to know that there's any
underground.
There's no gap.
They're like, we don't know that you went away to try to find water.
Right. Well, it's also funny because like we're sitting here and like I'm leaning back on the couch and just like, yeah, man, like water, this is like exactly how it sounds. Yeah, dude, water, like you need it. It's so inconvenient when you don't have it. And then as soon as I hit record again, I'm like, well, water definitely sucks. So it's kind of funny that we're talking about voiceovers and voice acting and all that stuff. And as soon as the recording goes, I'm like, oh, I got to use my life's a binge voice now. It's definitely not my actual, it is, but it's just the slightly enhanced version of how I normally sound. It's just funny that like you can instantly like, oh yeah, what do you need? You need the up-tempo guy? Okay. Or you need somebody that's slightly younger. It's like, okay, well, I'll just go up and pitch a little bit and like talk a little faster and like,
hey guys,
it's like whatever you need to do. It's so funny that you can just turn it on and people don't understand that aspect of it.
Well, and the funny thing is that it's cause I've had people say that over the years. They'll say, I was at some friend's house years ago and we were just talking and they were like, that's the perfect voice for you. You should just be that way. And I'm going, but I'm me, you know, it's like the that's, moment that I get I, any kind of energy in what I do, this is who I am. So you better just deal with it.
Exactly.
What I've noticed from doing this podcast and listening to episodes is I do have to be a little bit more conscious because when I'm performing, I'm extraordinarily conscious about how I sound.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that we present a conversational setting for our podcast that a lot of times my conversational voice is a little more lazy.
Right, right.
And a little more.
Like, sure.
That's just how it is.
It is, yeah.
Especially
slurring your words.
It's a little warm. You have one rum and coke. Yeah, you're sitting on the couch.
You might slur words.
And well, not only that, but you're just like, I'm comfortable right now, and like I don't have to be on.
Right.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And it's so funny because like when you're a performer, like when it's showtime, you're like, okay, turn it on. Click.
Well, and you guys, as we were setting up the microphones, I'm sitting on one of the couches here, and I'm setting the microphone up for me to sit on the edge of the couch, right? And they're like, you don't look like you're going to be very comfortable. Right. How about if you sit back in the couch and move the microphone back? And I'm like, damn, this is good. I like this.
This is counterintuitive
literally
of what I'm supposed to be doing. Right.
Armchair DJing. This is nice.
Yeah, that's part of your life.
If I ever go back in the air, this is going to be one of my specs. I'm sorry, I need a couch in the your writer. That's right. This is where I'm doing my show, man.
Yeah, I need M&Ms with no green ones in there.
Sit. And we need the mini fridge in the corner. And, yeah.
No, it's just so funny because people that aren't in the entertainment industry at all don't understand the aspect of, you know, turning it on. And it's like, I don't really turn it on. I just kind of turn up the volume a little bit. Like, it's not like 0 to 100. It's like, it's a different mode. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be in front of 1,000 people. Like,
Even if it was like doing
an adventure host thing, which doesn't sound, it sounds a lot cooler than it was at SeaWorld, but like you're just the corporate host of like, well, the food's going to start soon and the bathrooms are right over there. But
you say
if you have
any
questions, come on up and talk to me.
Right. Yes, I'm the guy up here in the weird blue shirt.
I have a map if you want one.
Exactly. But like instead of just standing up there being like, hey guys, I'm Jared. And if you have any questions, like whatever. You're like, hey everyone, I'm Jared and I'll be up here on the stage.
Exactly.
And like, everyone's like, you just brought that out of nowhere. It's like, well, yeah, that's my life. They always seem so shocked at it. And you're like, well, what did you think? I sucked? Like, what do you mean? You're so surprised I sound. It's like, this is my job. Like, this is my livelihood. Like, what do you, they're always so surprised. You could just jump right into that. It's like, that's what I went to school for. You know, that's what I'm trained for. It's what I take classes for. It's so funny that people outside of the industry are just like, well, what do you do? They're like, oh, I'm a nurse. It's like, well, can't you just jump right in? If like somebody comes in bleeding, you just know exactly what to do, right? Yeah. Same thing. I can just, somebody puts a microphone in front of my face, I can just jump right in. Like, that's my training. It's so funny that people don't get it.
Yeah. After years of working on a dinner cruise boat where we would sing and dance and do these shows for 7 years, it was a lot of fun up in Seattle. And oftentimes I was the MC. And so I just had a whole lot of experience of like talking on the microphone, introducing things, addressing a crowd. And so when that job ended, there was a couple year window when I was just bartending at a place, and one time they had a PA set up in that big room where their bar was, and they're like, can you make some announcements about, you know, our Ram Bighorn Brewery club for mugs? And I'm like, sure, you know, I do it. And I'm like, hello everybody and welcome to Ram's Bighorn Brewery, and I hope you guys are enjoying yourself, and like give a real good you know, like speech,
your presentation. Yeah,
presentation. And the boss is like, damn like you sound like a pro. Like, I've actually been paid for it.
That's right.
Because I
much
am a pro.
Better than you're paying me now, right?
Don't have to worry about tips. Funny.
No, and like just doing, like I said, doing like the adventure host or just being like an announcer of doing anything. Cause I worked at the zoo for a very short amount of time, a couple summers, where I just stood on the roof and like did.
Oh, you were one of the guys on the roof.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
gotcha.
Yep. And I did that for a couple summers, and it was like, everyone's like, is that fun? And I was like, yeah, I sit down for 10 minutes and then I stand up for 5 minutes and I'm like, welcome everybody to the world famous San Diego Zoo and Koala Fornication or whatever it was called.
I don't think it was
Koala Fornication.
I know that's not what it was, but that's what I did. Like, and everyone's like, wow, you got a pretty good voice. And like the closest I ever got to like, or one of the coolest things, not the closest, but one of the coolest things I did is when they had that stunt where they were like, we need the new PA for the Padres or whatever. I was like, I'm going to go do that.
Heck yeah.
Like, even though I knew that
there wasn't
a chance in hell because like I heard, you know, the things. But then I was so impressed that Matt Thompson got as far as he did because I was like, wasn't this just a publicity stunt?
Like, it turned out it was just a publicity stunt.
But like, right. They actually took people. Like, nobody's.
It was a great...
Because, like, no offense to Matt, but he's not anybody. But, like, he actually called a game.
But he's got a great voice.
Oh, Matt's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice for that type
of
thing.
Right, and so, like, it was a publicity stunt, but they actually went all the way with it, even though they knew who they were going to hire in the long run.
Right.
But, like, it was... Just to be... They're like, here's your microphone, here's your thing. And, like, I was sitting there, and, like, I was just watching these people, like, now batting number 12... Jason, whatever, and you're like, why are you here?
Yeah. Right.
And like, you get it because like,
they all get an opportunity to like talk
never
on,
know.
A
you're
microphone
on the microphone,
and you know, and
you hear it pumped through the stadium, yeah. And like, it was the cool, and like, me personally, because like, I know the business and then I know whatever. I'm like, there is no way that anybody will ever listen to you for longer than 5 seconds, but like to them, they're like, I got it. I got a chance at this.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're not going to discourage them or whatever. And it's, like, the coolest thing. But then when I did it, I was like, this is so cool. Like, the way that the sound system there and you hear the bounce back and everything, it's just like, I sound so cool right now. it was the craziest cool thing.
Yeah. That was cool because Matt actually did get to do innings during a game.
Really?
As part of the final.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
He announced... Dodgers. He announced like Adrian Gonzalez at a Padre game. He's like, now batting number 21, Adrian Gonzalez or whatever.
Pretty great.
Yeah, it's cool. And he's got a great voice for that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like scuttlebutt talked about between everybody. Like, oh, they already know who they're picking. And
right.
So,
but it was so cool to just get that experience where it's like, I sound really cool. I have it on like recorded. I sound really cool.
Yeah, I would keep that. They did the same thing a few years, 10 years, 12 years ago, a long time ago.
37 years ago?
It was within 15 years because it was here in San Diego. Yeah. But they had to write a theme song for the Padres contest.
Oh, I gotcha.
Back when. And this is Sean O'Donnell was Dolphin hosting at the time. But...
this is the song you play. I remember this one.
Yeah. I love the Padres. Uh-huh. I had a friend who like recorded it for me and
cool.
I was so like, this is going to be the one. And then they turned out like in the same way that they already had it figured out. Maybe they did or didn't, but they picked this guy, Gary Hoey. Maybe you've heard of Gary Hoey, but he's a musician and who's already kind of established.
Yeah. 100%.
And he did this guitar, like, Padres, you know, and I'm like, man, I have a clever song with like clever words melody. And so we were all mad about that.
Well, B100 did that same thing.
Oh, and really?
Wasn't it Dallas?
They did like a DJ contest.
Yeah, the DJ thing.
Yeah,
they did
Super
a DJ
Mouth.
Contest.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
And Dallas got awarded this contract as a DJ, and of course, then he found out that they really didn't want him to.
Yep.
Yeah.
He did. Nope. Don't do anything. Yeah, they actually paid him the rest of his money just to please go away.
Just to go away because
yeah,
because he wanted to actually be a DJ, and they're like, no, this was all
this is a gimmick.
This is all a gimmick, and so you got your money, go away, please.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 50 G's.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy times.
That's funny. And you were talking about that commercial in the first episode that was based on Wheel of Fortune.
Right,
and,
right.
I was like, I know Patsy Jack. I know Patsy Jack. I spent the thing on there. Did you ever see my Wheel of Fortune? You
knew I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, you knew I was on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, you didn't bother to text me the night that it was on. And I just, I can't remember who, someone texted me and said, OMG, you know,
yeah.
BJ's on Wheel of Fortune. I went, that sucker, he didn't tell me when it's on.
I told a lot of people, but it was hard to get
the word
out.
I caught it a few minutes into it, but I'm like, go BJ, good, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, just to get that far, dude,
yeah,
that
it
is
was
huge.
So cool. It was so
I mean,
cool.
My goodness sakes, do you know how many people go for taking the test?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder, you know, I wonder like
thousands and thousands a year. So
like what the percentage is
for
you, know,
you to actually have gotten on the show is humongous.
Well, that's
cool.
And it's, and in part, I believe it's because you have this performer in you that's like,
oh, that helped for sure.
I know what you guys are looking for. You want somebody that's excitable and relatable and fun and polite right. and mm-hmm. boisterous, and you can understand what they're saying, but they're still excited. It's like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah, and it gives me another story. I know a guy that was on Wheel of Fortune. Seriously, right. I do.
Well, you know what's cool? It was during the first audition, which was live at the Harris Casino in Valley Center, I believe.
Yeah.
And so they'd put on a little...
fake Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, a little traveling Wheel of Fortune with a rent a Pat Sajak and a rent a Vanna.
How do I get that? You could get that.
That was a dude. I was thinking the same thing, dude. I'm like, I would travel around and do that. Would be a gig. That would be a sweet
game show host. Would be so fun.
Even just that dude, like, who's not even the guy, but he gets to travel around, and you know, and clearly he's pretty good. Like, he's pretty good. He's a good guy. Good, you know, MC.
MC gig. Yeah,
but. When I finished, so like I did the thing and the audition, and it went super well, and I have it all on video. But when I finished, the guy who's one of the like producers like meets me, and he, you know, I'm the first off the stage. He's like, "That was great. Do you mind? Can you come with me and do a secondary on camera interview?" And I'm like, "Yes." You know, already thinking like this went really well. But
and
then,
now it's going.
Yeah, now it's going even better. So, and I'm like, yeah. And then everyone else who comes off the stage is like, "Thank you," and type back to your seat. Thank you. Nice job. Thank you. You get a T-shirt or some kind of little gift for you know doing it. And like, take it back to your seat. And then so we're like, after he sends everybody to the seat, we're walking back, and he's like, "My wife and I were at SeaWorld 2 weeks ago, and we saw you do your thing at the Dolphin Show." Yeah, and he was like this, like a fan. Like, he was like, "You were so great." And like, it was, and I was like, "Yes!" Like, it was one of those things. It was so lucky and fortuitous.
Exactly. That, like, exactly. This dude, How cool is that?
Yeah, that just kind of like, I'm sure that.
That helped grease the skids a little bit. Yes. Yeah,
I had one more audition after that, but.
That is so funny.
And now it's almost full circle, because in 2 weeks, while Jared's getting married, actually, I'm going to be at Jared's wedding on the 4th.
Yes, you are.
But that night, we leave for Aruba that night.
Aruba.
So,
yes.
And so we go and get to spend a week in Aruba.
That's so cool.
Courtesy of Wheel of Fortune.
Yep. And I got my car fixed this week, $800.
Nice.
Thanks, Wheel of Fortune.
Yep.
Gosh, not bad, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So this has been a good year.
Yeah, good times.
Cubs are champs.
Well, and like, not anymore.
Two more weeks they are.
Not anymore. like, it was just, I don't know. I just, being a voice talent, and like just getting paid to like stand on the roof of the zoo and like, just whatever, like work at SeaWorld. It's so weird that people at the post office still come up and they call me Biff at the post. They're like, "Yeah, that's Biff."
That's
like,
what cool.
Are you like, I watched you. Like, I took my kids and like to right, me, right. You're famous. Like,
right?
Like,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'm like, we're the same. I deliver mail just like you, and they're like, no. You're not just like me. I've done this for 30 years, and I came to watch you do your thing.
Right.
You're doing this. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. And so, like, having that version, like, that's my tiny little version of celebrity that I will always have in my heart. And, like, you have countless and countless, like, years and memories of people just knowing, even if it's, like, not quite the same because they don't know you. But you're, like, standing in line at the grocery store having a conversation with somebody, and they turn around, they're like, wait a second. I've listened to this guy. Hold on. Are you on the radio? And you're like, yep.
You're like, yep.
Your bumper there, the first one, the crazy day. Do you mean this one? Do you mean me? Crazy day. You like have that.
Oh, yeah. On my phone. Right. Just carries it around. Yeah. Well, I put it on the iPad for this thing, so maybe that's it. Needs to move to the front. Right.
You'll just like play it, you know, at any time.
You know, another funny little story. When Shotgun Tom came to work at K-Best, that's when I met Shotgun back then. And he came to work at K-Best. And of course, he had, you know, he was famous then. I mean, and having Shotgun Tom come to K-Best, it was like, oh my gosh. You know, who is this guy going to be, a cool radio guy, or is he going to be one of the
jerks,
you know?
Right.
And it's like, everyone's going, so I'm hearing half from, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, Shotgun, watch out for him. And others are like, yeah, Shotgun's a really nice guy. And so he comes in, and of course he is just the most awesome, nicest guy in the world. And so back then we had a weird kind of schedule. We didn't have to do like every weekend, the full-timers. But we had to do like every other weekend or every third weekend or whatever, and our shifts would kind of change. So there'd be one weekend where I would be working on the air and then Shotgun would come in after me. And then there'd be another weekend where Shotgun would be working and I'd come in after him. And it was really funny because my kids were just, Shotgun Tom. And we all had one sheets, which was really cool. The only time in my career that I ever had that where, you know, we've got the sheet with all the people on it and you would sign it up and you'd hand it to someone.
Yeah.
So at any rate, my kids are like, oh, we want to meet Shotgun.
Does he really wear that weird hat?
Yeah. So it's a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. And so I open up the big studio door because it's a big, huge, heavy studio door. And I look in, Shotgun goes, hey, buddy, how's it going? And I say, hey, Shotgun, I have a favor to ask. He goes, oh, what is it? My kids want to meet Shotgun Tom. You know, can we do that? Oh, yeah, sure. No problem. Come on in, you know. So I put my kids in the room and they spend like 10 minutes in the room with him. And I think he even does a break with him on the radio. And
nice.
They are just in seventh heaven. And they head out the door and they've got signed Shotgun Tom this and everything. And they're so excited and they leave. And I come in and I go, hey, thank you so much. He goes, oh, no, it's always good to do it. So then we move on and I don't think anything of it. And it's like a month later, something like that. It's flipped. I'm on the air. He comes in. He goes, hey, Crazy Dave, can I ask you something? I go, yeah. He goes, my kids want to meet Crazy Dave. I'm like, are you serious?
The student is teacher.
They don't like, give
I've
a rat's.
Made it, I've made yeah, it.
They don't give a rat's ass about Shotgun Tom. That's their dad. They live with him every time.
Yeah.
They want to meet Crazy Dave. And I'm like, I have arrived.
Yeah, that's
you know?
So cool.
Well, what's cool, too, funny. Is that Shotgun Tom Kelly got a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes.
And I had a select list of guests during the ceremony, and our friend Dave was
we
one
were
of them.
There and behind and then a party afterwards at Pink's, or it was actually catered by Pink's, and it was on the outdoor, the second story of the Wax Museum.
That's so
I
cool.
didn't even know they had a patio up there, but Stevie Wonder was there. That was just trippy.
It how was is like, that a thing?
It's a thing.
Shotgun and Stevie have become friends.
That's so and,
really
and,
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, they
enough
are,
to where he come. Count?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he. So it's.
So it's you
is,
and
it's
Stevie Wonder.
It's
know?
Not me and Stevie Wonder. No,
no you're just friends. You're friends of. No, you're friends of. You are both guests. You're equal. You're both guests of Shotgun Kelly at his Walk of Fame ceremony.
That is true.
So, me and Stevie Wonder, we're
but
contemporaries.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
that was a really special day. It was really great to see him honored. I mean, there are so many, again, just like those of us that have worked at SeaWorld,
right.
and any other performers, we all know 100 performers that are awesome and have fallen by the wayside along the way, and
oh, yeah.
they've moved off and done something else. And so those few that go on and do it, that's why I said, I've always told him, I live vicariously through you, man. So that always makes me feel good. It's like, yes, he made it. Good. I got this far up the mountain, but you made it all the way up to the peak.
And so when he brought his kids, like, that's like the moment for you where you're like, well, that's so cool. But then like, has that the grocery store scenario like played out where like people hear you and they're like, wait a second, I know who you
I've
are.
Had, yeah. I've had people not necessarily hear me as much. That has happened a couple of times, but since I've been off the radio, not as much.
Right.
But it's the funny thing is like at BJ's party.
Right.
It was like we were just having a conversation and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, someone's like, you are Crazy Dave? I'm like, yep. Okay, yep. Here we go, you know, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But anyone who was there, it's stuck in their consciousness.
Yeah.
There's memories.
Well, and then not
know,
only
so.
That, but like the conversation's going down this path and like, I'm not a performer at SeaWorld anymore, but when the conversation needs it to be, I can go, well, I used to be Biff at SeaWorld. And like just saying those words,
sure.
People are like,
yes.
What? No way, you're
right,
Biff.
Right,
that's
right.
Crazy. I want that so bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just like, yeah, that's why I said that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I can see where this was going. And
yeah,
I'm just
going
to let you stroke my ego for a second.
You're Uber driver going to SeaWorld. What do you do there? Hey, host a couple shows.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's right.
Like what? Yeah. Oh, you know, it's no big deal. But, yeah,
show. I don't know if you've ever seen them. But.
I know. And that's how it is. Like you always play it down. What do you do this year? I'm a performer. Oh, you're a performer. What do you do? I do the shows there. Oh, what shows? I do the Sea Lion show. Oh, no way, dude. That's cool. Like with the animals? Like, no, I do the pre-show stuff. What? you're
no
Biff.
Way.
Right, right, you're right. Biff. But you never just come out and you're like, oh, you know, I'm Biff at the CYN. I'll try to do the pre-show or whatever. It's always like, oh, I'm a performer. Oh, really? What do you do? You just kind of like feed them and like lead them on a little bit. You're like, this is going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just cool whenever you can drop that. And like you have this cool thing that you're like.
You have a handful of cool things
yeah,
to drop.
You're like, yeah, you drop it.
That's just me. Yeah. Dave's the story guy.
Yeah. You know?
In fact, some people that I work with at the zoo during the summertime, some of the performers, that's what they were saying. They go, "Oh, Dave, it's Dave's story time."
Right.
You know? They're like, "You always have another story." And I said, "Yeah, I do." They go, "No, no, no, it's cool. We like it." I'm like, "Okay,
yeah, it's awesome,
but you got to tell me when it's not awesome anymore, because I'll just tell stories all day long because you just collect these things, but it's fun, and there's always a lot of little connections between the stories. It's right. Like that, like I said, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. Right. Oh, yeah. There's always some connection somewhere to something.
Yeah. Like how you're best friends with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now that's me, trying to tell a story.
Right.
You know, that I am notoriously sidetracked because I have to tell y'all.
You go
that
down
reminds
the
me of this
hole.
Other story. Yeah.
And it you reminds gotta know me about the time this. That you went to Jay Leno and got to hang with Jay Leno.
Exactly. Yeah. Pictures on the wall of Jay at Pets.
That's right.
That day. And
he came to Pets.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he came to Pets. I just know that you showed up at the recording at the show.
Right. And I'd showed up because I'd gotten tickets from him because he had come to Pets. Yeah.
So that's how that came. It didn't go the other way. It went that way. Okay.
Yeah, he came to Pets with his wife. And this is early on in the Pets days. And they were big animal people and pet people, and so we gave a little private presentation to him, which was really cool.
Oh, cool.
And so I kind of like struck up a conversation, like, because he's from the same town as my dad.
Right.
And so I'm like, "Hey, you're from Andover, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." We start talking. "Yeah, we're saying, hey, what part of Andover are you guys from?" That's Jay Leno. It's great. Like I say, I could do lots of impressions.
It's so perfect.
So anyway, it turns out they were on the same block. They lived in the same block. He knew exactly who they were, who I was talking about, my family.
That's crazy.
And, small world. And then gets his tickets to go anytime.
Right.
But we choose to go at a time when the guests are Julie Scardina. So we're like, "God, I know her."
Oh, yeah, that's
you
right.
You know, like, and Brendan Fraser, who I know from Seattle. Right. This is another small world thing where he went to school with all my buddies at Cornish College of the Arts in Seattle, and I would always be going to the plays, and Brendan was in plays, and we'd party afterwards and beforehand and cast parties, and so it's one of those small world things where it's like, "Oh, Brendan Fraser movie coming out. I know him."
Yeah, well, you're like, "I got these tickets from Jay Leno because we grew up in the same spot, and then I go to the show, and then
I work with the one guest, yeah.
I work with the other guy, yeah, is really good friend from college." Yeah. It's like, "What? This is weird." Yeah.
But you know who didn't believe me? The ushers.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Could you possibly like get me back? I swear to God, I'm friends with these
guys." I'm friends crazy. With all three of those people.
Crazy, like, crazy.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Security.
Has your quote-unquote celebrity ever gotten you like anything? Like, the coolest thing was when I went to Starbucks one time when I was at SeaWorld, and they're like, "Hey, you're Biff, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, I got your coffee." I'm like, "Okay, free coffee, sweet."
I don't know that it's ever really gotten me anything. I do remember the weirdest thing that ever happened to me, and this was in the 80s when I was doing the TV commercials for Pacific Honda.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just the walk and talk.
You're visible. Yeah,
I'm visible. And I was driving through the drive-thru at McDonald's up next to SDSU. And I am just, focusing on something else. I'm just driving through McDonald's to get something. And the girl in the window saw me. And she just about came out the window. "You're the guy on television. You're the guy on television." And I was just like, I was so shocked. I was just like, "You mean the commercial?"
Oh,
you know,
man.
It's like, "Yeah, okay." And she was just like over the top. And I didn't even know how to react because it was so far over
right.
anything.
Like,
and it was like, yeah.
You're
"Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." So, but other than that, luckily, any other reactions have been pretty mixed. And, you know, I have a big personality, so yep. So it's, I have been trying over the years to kind of tone it down just a little bit and not quite be out there
right.
as much.
Why?
But it's, I mean, like, but it's still hard.
I mean, like, it's still hard. If it's not you, I mean, you know.
Well, I know. And I was on.
I guess we do the same thing. I mean, so like, just yeah. you, for the situation.
Right. I mean, I have some friends that I just met at the beginning of the year and have spent some time with them. And in the course of conversations with them, they know that I work at the zoo and they know that I do voiceovers, but they've never really gotten into. And they know that I'm a performer.
Right.
But they never really have gotten into it. And then just a couple of weeks ago, just caught a random recording of me singing when I was up in Yosemite. And it texted to them. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you sing? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. You know, that's really fun because...
You kind of missed that part.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't play guitar till I was 20, 21 or so. So like everyone I know in high school and college, it was not a thing. And so it's kind of cool because even at that time, I remember thinking, I'll never play guitar. Like right. I picked right, it up right, a right. few times and was like,
this is never gonna happen.
This is never, yeah. This is never gonna
happen.
My stupid
happen. Fingers right. don't work.
Yeah, like, this is yeah. stupid. It doesn't. It's not
my
happening.
Pinky will
like
never
this.
Be able to cover that E string.
Yeah. but now it's a trip, and I like, I play guitar. I play guitar. It's so bizarre to me that right. I play guitar. But it's
well,
just,
not only that, but like you do a show at SeaWorld, and like somebody from your past that. Didn't know that you worked there and didn't know that you played it. They come up to you after the show.
Right.
And they're like, dude, BJ, like,
what?
I didn't know you worked here. Right. Like, yeah. I didn't know you worked here. I didn't know you could play guitar. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you
it
do?
Just depends on when they were from. Like,
right. Well, yeah.
Like, but... people from high school, like, we did the dolphin show once when we got guests up out of the crowd.
Oh, okay.
And you remember you pulled them up and then you wrote their names down on a little piece of paper
exactly.
where they were from. And then you're just like, and over to you, Dave. And you're like, thank you. I'm over here with the Johnson family from Provo, Utah. And then you interview the family. So I did that, interviewed this family, went through the show, did the whole thing. And, you know, on behalf of all of us here at SeaWorld, thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day here at SeaWorld. Bye-bye, everybody. Waving, you know, and the show's ending. Music, animals are jumping. And the dude, the dad, is just chomping at the bit to say something to me, like, after I'm done talking. And, like, as soon as I'm done, he's like, did you go to school in Oregon?
Like, oh, wow.
And I look at the name, and I'm like, James Bolton, like it's like somebody like from my high school.
Oh, right, right.
I'm like, oh my God, you know, like it just didn't register. First of all, because I didn't really recognize him, and I knew of him, I knew his brother, I knew his sister, but it just didn't register.
Well,
it had been
yeah,
several
you're just
years.
Going through the motions and stuff. Like,
yeah,
you're, like,
and,
you're
and,
not paying
and he wasn't
attention.
From Oregon. You know, he was from another state.
Right.
So I wasn't even thinking putting those together.
Right. No, two and two together.
So, but yeah, it's one of those things. It's a small world. I also had a guy like stand up in the middle of my pre-show and shout out, "Hey, you used to work at the Ram in Seattle."
Oh my gosh!
It was a guy I used to work with back then.
That's
like,
awesome.
So I'm sure is like went to SeaWorld and like. That's the freaking
that is
bartender
hilarious.
I used to work with. Like, I swear to God. And enough to stand up in the middle
in
of the show and shout it. Yeah, during the pre-show. And I'm like, hey, Howard, I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Yeah,
like,
I'm busy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do the rest of this.
Kind
of
busy.
And, it was one of those, it was a weird day, too, because it just so happened that it was like an emergency day. And as soon as that show was, Dolphin Show was over, I had to hightail it to Pets. And change and
oh,
almost
and
like just in time
sure.
to slide down the slide.
That's fantastic.
And so I told the, I was like pointed out the park op to him. And I was like, make sure he goes over to the pet show when he's done. Cause I didn't have time to like do a receiving line. And we talked afterwards, but it was one of those cool things. It was kind of like small.
Hey!
World. You, I know you. You're the dude from the gas station. That is me.
I did have one of those, but it was kind of it was different. It was a bit of the opposite. So all through school, I was the performer. I was the singer. I was the you know. So when I graduated, everybody expected me to move on and do bigger and better things, kind
right.
of thing. And I had a seventh grade teacher or eighth grade teacher, anyway, seventh or eighth grade teacher, science teacher, who used to play guitar in class, and that was so he knew that I was a guitar player, and he, I guess, followed me a little bit through the high school things. So fast forward to like 3 years, 4 years out of high school, I'm working at KSLY in San Luis Obispo overnights, and I'm got a part-time job because I'm trying to pay the bills at the ADX drugstore, like a CVS during the day. And I'm, you know, thank you very much, you know, ringing up and everything. And one day, all of a sudden, he goes, Dave Smith? And I look up, and it's my old high, you know, junior high teacher. And he looks at me, and the first words out of his mouth were, I figured you'd be in Hollywood by now. You'd have a recording contract. And right. I'm like, oh, thanks.
You think it's that easy?
Yeah.
But how come you're not on the cast of Saturday Night Live?
right.
Oh, but why didn't I think of that?
It was great to see him, but at the same time, the whole situation, it was almost a downer. I was almost embarrassed.
Well, you're probably like, yeah, you can hear me on the radio. I just happen to be doing my other job right now. I'm on the air.
I'm a checker. But it was
say that
it was this weird, this weird kind of thing.
I bet, dude.
Dude, you're so funny. Like, oh man, your show was so good. Like, how come you're in Hollywood? You're like, I'm here. Like, this is my job. Right. Like, that's why.
I have bills to pay. Yeah. I have a car payment. Like, I have rent. I don't like living on people's couches. And
it's like, I would love
and
to do
I'm,
that.
I'm going to get married.
Right.
So right.
Wives generally like some sort of
income. Sure.
Oh, man.
Cool, man. Yeah. What do you think? We should wrap it.
Yeah, we could literally do this all night. But we have to end. We have to end.
I need
to
eat.
BJ needs to get some water.
Good
luck with that, buddy.
There's water. There's group texts with the neighbors. And
oh, it's back?
Well, there's not water on. But there's a water tank, and so we can at least go fill up our buckets.
Nice.
And use the toilet.
You know it's going to be a while when the city brings up the water truck.
By the way, we have a truck for you now.
Yeah.
All right. Dude, thanks again for being here.
Well, it's been fun. Thank you. No, thanks for having me. This was fun.
You're the best.
Tons of fun.
And, this is our fun little version of being on the radio, because you got to do it in real life, and we get to do it for pretend in the living room.
Oh, but this is far more fun, I got to tell you.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
But thanks again. Again, that's Dave Smith. You can find him performing almost daily at the San Diego Zoo, and he'll entertain you with some songs and stuff.
How about one more bumper for you?
Yeah.
One more. Here we go.
Crazy Dave, J-Best 95.
I love how you do it.
He can't not woo. He can't not do it.
It's just natural. Sorry.
That's so great.
That's cool. Awesome.
Thanks again, Dave.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
You're the best. And this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.
Crazy Dave, J-Best 95.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Crazy Dave, and we are here on Life's a Binge podcast with the one and only BJ and Jared.